Difficult days in Paris. James and Ellen White faced difficult times in Paris. She wrote of it, "We suffered many privations. We were willing to live cheaply that the paper might be sustained. My husband was a dyspeptic. We could not eat meat or butter, and were obliged to abstain from all greasy food. Take these from a poor farmer's table and it leaves a very spare diet. Our labors were so great that we needed nourishing food. We had much care, and often sat up as late as midnight, and sometimes until 2 or 3 in the morning, to read proof sheets. We could have better borne these extra exertions could we have had the sympathy of our brethren in Paris, and had they appreciated our labors and the efforts we were making to advance the cause of truth. Mental labor and privation reduced the strength of my husband very fast. They did have with them in Paris their horse, Charlie, and the carriage. They had a very special affection for Charlie because he had come to them in a time of great distress. About a year previous, when Ellen White had suffered a painful 40-mile, 64-kilometer, stagecoach trip to Sutton, Vermont, the believers in Sutton realized the difficulties that attended the Whites in their journeys, and united in making up a purse of $175 with which to provide a horse and carriage. James and Ellen were given the choice of several horses brought for their inspection. The process of selecting one did not take long, for in vision the night before Ellen seemed to be at the crossroads appointed, and as horses were led before them the angel had given counsel. The first was a high-spirited, light reddish-brown, rather nervous animal, and the angel said, "No." Not that one was the verdict on the second, a large gray horse. Then, as a beautiful dapple chestnut, somewhat sway-backed, horse was led before them, the angel said, "That is the one for you." His name was Charlie, and he lightened their journey to Canada and through a period of many years, WCW, Sketches and Memories of James and Ellen G. White, The Review and Herald, April 25, 1935. At the Waterbury Conference they ran into distressing criticism. A whispering campaign had been started against James White in which many joined, even the venerable Joseph Bates. It was based on the opinion that the Whites had too good a horse, and as James had been very liberal in contributing to the conference, he must be making money, wrote Ellen White. This was the reward he received. We were forced to wade through a tide of oppression. It seemed that the deep waters would overflow us, and that we should sink. One discouraging episode followed another. Severe colds that took hold of him on the journey to and from Waterbury settled in James's lungs. Ellen White reported the result. He sank beneath his trials. He was so weak he could not get to the printing office without staggering. Our faith was tried to the uttermost. We had willingly endured privation, toil, and suffering, yet but few seemed to appreciate our efforts, when it was even for their good we had suffered. We were too much troubled to sleep or rest. The situation finally came to the point where James declared, "Wife, it is no use to try to struggle on any longer. These things are crushing me, and will soon carry me to the grave. I cannot go any farther. I have written a note for the paper stating that I shall publish no more." As he stepped out of the door to take the note to the printing office, Ellen fainted. He returned, and she rallied in response to earnest prayer. The next morning at family worship she was taken off in vision. She wrote of what she was shown. "I saw that my husband must not give up the paper, for such a step was just what Satan was trying to drive him to take, and he was working through agents to do this. I was shown that he must continue to publish, and that the Lord would sustain him." So the Second Advent Review and Sabbath Herald continued to come from the press 1 or 2 issues a month until number 13 was put out on June 9, 1851. This closed the first volume, and the Whites terminated their stay in Paris. With the end of Volume 1, James thought it would be well to find a more central place from which to send out the paper and other printed materials. They began looking for a place near Saratoga Springs where they would be only a few miles from the printing office. Within a few days, the Whites found a house, borrowed furniture from fellow believers, and set up housekeeping. The first number of Volume 2 came from the press on August 5, 1851. Ellen's sister Sarah and Stephen Belden, Sarah's husband, arrived soon to help with publishing. And Clarissa Bonfoy came, bringing 2-year-old Edson, who had been in her care. Soon 23-year-old Annie Smith, the very talented sister of Uriah Smith, joined the publishing family. She gave much-needed help in issuing the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, the newly shortened name of the paper. Writing to the Howlands on November 12, Ellen White stated, "Annie Smith is with us. She is just the help we need. She takes right hold with James and helps him much. We can leave her now to get off the papers and can go out more among the flock." So through the fall and winter of 1851 to 1852, the Whites divided their time between publishing and field work.